Chapter 8. How a religious man should commit himself to God in all circumstances whatsoever. I am now completely convinced that you will recognize from these arguments that the more you strip yourself of the products of your imagination and all worldly and created things, and are united to God with your intellect by a good will, the closer you will approach the state of innocence and perfection. What could be better, and what could be more happy and joyful? Above all, it is important for you to keep your mind bare, without imaginations and images, and free of any sort of entanglement, so that you are not concerned about either the world, friends, prosperity, or adversity, or anything present, past, or future, whether in yourself or in others, not even your own sins. But consider yourself with a certain pure simplicity, to be alone with God, outside the world, and as if your mind were already in eternity, and separated from the body, so that it will certainly not bother about worldly things, or be concerned about the state of the world, about peace or war, about good weather or rain, or about anything at all in this world, but with complete docility will turn to God alone, be empty for Him, and cleave to Him. So now in this way, ignore your body and all created things, present or future, and direct the high point of your mind and spirit directly, as best you can, naked and unencumbered on the uncreated light. And let your spirit be cleansed in this way from all imaginations, coverings, and things obscuring its vision, like an angel, not tied to a body, who is not hindered by the works of the flesh, nor tangled in vain and wandering thoughts. Let your spirit, therefore, arm itself against all temptations, vexations, and injuries, so that it can persevere steadily in God when attacked by either face or fortune, so that when some inner disturbance or boredom or mental confusion come, you will not be indignant or dejected because of it, nor run back to vocal prayers or other forms of consolation, but only to lift yourself up in your intellect by a good will to hold on to God with your mind, whether the natural inclination of the body wills it or not. The religious-minded soul should be so united to God, and should have or render its will so conformed to the divine will, that it is not occupied with any created thing, or cling to it any more than before it was created, and as if nothing existed except God and the soul itself. And in this way, it should accept everything confidently and equally, in general and in particular, from the hand of divine providence, agreeing in everything with the Lord in patience, peace, and silence. The thing is, that the most important thing of all for a spiritual life is to strip the mind of all imaginations, so that one can be united in one's intellect to God by a good will, and conform to Him. Besides, nothing will then be intermediary between you and God. This is obvious, since nothing external will stand between you when, by the vow of voluntary poverty, you will have removed the possession of anything whatsoever, and by the vow of chastity, you will have abandoned your body, and by obedience, you will have given up your will and your soul itself. And in this way, nothing will be left to stand between you and God. That you are a religious person is indicated by your profession, your state, and now your habit and tonsure, and such like, but whether you are only a religious in appearance or a real one, you will find out. Bear in mind, therefore, how greatly you have fallen away and sinned against the Lord your God and all His justice, if you behave otherwise and cling with your will and love to what is created rather than to the Creator Himself, putting the created before the Creator. End of chapter 8.